First Chronicles chapter number 4, First Chronicles chapter number 4, and I'd like to speak to you this afternoon on this theme, request granted. Request granted. At the end of verse 10, the Bible says, "And God granted him that which he requested." Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to open your word, and I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would prepare us now for what we are going to hear. I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Spirit, hide me behind the cross, help me to follow your leading in this preaching time. We pray, Lord, that everyone would be able to hear the preaching in one way or another, that they would be able to listen and pay attention, and Lord, meet every need that is represented in this hour. Please bless the interpreting and the ASL, that all would go well there as well, Father. And Lord, may your will be accomplished in this time. Save the lost, revive the saint, in Jesus' name, amen. Request granted. We're going to come back to 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 for our outline, but I'm doing something maybe a little bit different today, and I want to take us to several other passages of Scripture in my introduction. And so please have your Bible. Let's go now to the book of Daniel. We are going to come back to our text, and we are going to look at this, but go with me to the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, and I believe you'll understand why I'm doing this and why I believe this is what God has for us, more importantly than why I'm doing it, as we read several other passages of Scripture, remembering the theme that we emphasized just a moment ago. Daniel chapter number 1 in verse number 8, the Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested," would you underline that word, "requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." He requested. We know that this was the time of captivity for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. But anyway, this was a time of captivity for them. And Daniel was someone who wanted to follow God's will for his life. It did not matter where he was. And so he did not want to partake of the king's meat and defile himself, as we read. And so he asked if there was a way. He requested that they might not, and so he's going to give them another option for their diet. That's not really the point of why we're here today in this text, but now if you would, just allow your eyes to go down to verse 14. Verse 14, the Bible says, look at the first three words, "So he consented." So he consented. You can maybe draw an arrow if you draw arrows and things like that. Daniel requested to the prince of the eunuchs, the man that was in charge. And then in verse 14 it says, "So he," that would be the prince of the eunuchs, "consented." Request granted. And we see here in Daniel that God allowed Daniel and his friends, verse number 11, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Daniel requested, and the prince of the eunuchs consented. We might say here that Daniel, of course, a man of great prayer, that God answered his prayer. Turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah and chapter number 2. Ezra, Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. That's where Nehemiah is in the Bible. And let's keep that theme in mind. And now if you would, look at the Bible in chapter 2, verse number 4. The Bible says, "Then the king said unto me," he's speaking to Nehemiah, "for what dost thou make request?" There it is again, the word request. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." What an amazing statement. Nehemiah is before the king, and again, I can't preach all of these texts because we'll never get to the outline, although the Bible is more important than the outline for sure. But just keep following me. Nehemiah is standing before the king, and he's trying to get permission to go and continue the building of the walls that have been torn down. And he's standing before the king, and the king says, "So, Nehemiah, what is your request?" Now, Nehemiah, this is all happening faster than I can snap my fingers, and you can snap your fingers. Can you snap your fingers? All right, good. That'll maybe help wake you up a little bit. Some people have a hard time snapping their fingers. Forget about snapping your fingers. I don't want you to lose your train of thought. Nehemiah, just in a split second, prays to the God of heaven. In other words, Nehemiah's got to be careful how he speaks to the king, doesn't he? And so the king says, "What is your request?" Look at the end of verse 8. Look at the end of verse 8, beginning with the word "and." You see it? You see it? Say amen. Okay, I heard you. "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Request given, request granted. We see that in Daniel. We see that in Nehemiah. Nehemiah stands before the king. King says, "What do you need?" Nehemiah shows a powerful example for you and for me. He prays to the God of heaven. "God, direct me." This wasn't the first time. This wasn't a 911 prayer. He already had a relationship with the Lord. Daniel had a relationship with the Lord before Daniel chapter 1. No doubt in my mind, and we find that out later in Daniel's life. The point is this: here's two men of God. Requests made, requests granted. All right, how about a lady in the Bible? Let's go to the book of Esther. The book of Esther, chapter number 5. Esther, chapter number 5. Request granted. Esther, chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 3, "Then said the king unto her," Esther, he's speaking to Esther, "Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy," what's the word? "Request." There it is again. Circle that word, request. "It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom." Esther is obviously on a mission from her uncle Mordecai, and her people are being threatened by wicked Haman. That's not the message. None of that is the message. But that has brought Esther to the point where she goes before her husband, and even in this day, as we spoke on a few weeks ago, she needed permission to go speak before her husband, which she did not have. And yet the king says to his wife, Queen Esther, "What is it that you want? What is your request?" Flip over to chapter 7. Flip over to chapter 7. In verse 2, this first meeting was to set up a banquet. Okay, again, I'm not preaching all of that. We don't have time. So now they're there, and here's another one. Chapter 7, verse 2. "And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, 'What is thy petition, Queen Esther?'" Verse 2, chapter 7. "And it shall be granted thee," notice, "and what is thy request?" What is thy request? "And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom." And we know, at least I don't want to assume everyone knows, I guess, but we know that Esther's request was granted by the king. She explained to him what was happening. She explained to him what wicked Haman was doing. And God used Esther as she made a request to the king. God used that in the life of the Jewish people within the time of Queen Esther. One more passage before we go back to 1 Chronicles quickly. Psalm 21. A little bit of a Bible study by way of introduction. Psalm 21. Request granted. Look at Psalm 21, please, and verse number 2. Psalm 21 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Thou hast given him his heart's desire and hast not withholden the request of his lips." Circle that word, request. Verse 1 said, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and thou hast not withholden the request of his lips." Selah. Request granted. Time and time and time again in our Bible, we can read of this type of thing happening, and in this case, using the very words that we were emphasizing today. I thank you for taking the time, and I trust that we have laid a little bit of foundation, and now we're going to go back to Jabez, the life of Jabez that we read about a few moments ago. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. Let's dive into these two verses of Scripture, and let's see what God has for us in addition about this theme of request granted. Number one, in verse number 9, we see Jabez and his pedigree. Jabez and his pedigree. There are three things that are mentioned, noteworthy things that are said about Jabez in this verse. They reveal to us about his character. They reveal to us that maybe Jabez's life was a bit above ordinary in his walk with God. We could say that he was above average. And you know, I hope that you as a Christian today, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, I hope that you're not just trying to live the average Christian life. I hope you're not just setting out to get just the bare minimum, as we say, when it comes to living for the Lord. I hope that you're seeking to do all that you possibly can to bring people to Christ and to live a holy, pure life before God. And so we see in Jabez his pedigree, number one. Letter A, we see the place in life, his place in life. Now, we're not going to do it because of time, but from 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1, all the way up to where we've been reading here today, it's one name after another. It's quite the reading. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and God does everything decently and in order, and God's put everything in the Word of God for our good and for His glory. But all of a sudden, in the middle of all of this, and if you've read these, I mean, I've read them many times. I'm sure you have too. If you haven't, when you start reading 1 Chronicles, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to getting to Jabez because it's going to at least break all this begat, begat, begat. And all of a sudden, out in the middle of nowhere, God puts in there a couple of verses about Jabez. We are confronted with a man whose life is like an oasis in a dry, barren desert. Everyone else was just this and this, this and this. But God decides to just stop all of a sudden and tell us a little bit about the life of Jabez. You know what? I want you to think about that for just a minute. And some application that we can make right here is this. There's a lot of names, and I know that there's a great purpose for those names, and I'm not making fun of that at all. That's not the point. The point is this. I want to be someone in my Christian life. I don't want to look at everyone else and say, well, I'm doing a little bit better than brother so-and-so over here, or I'm living a little bit better than sister so-and-so over here, or you know what? I'm going to compare myself with other Christians, and it's because I'll find the ones that are living in sin and compare myself with them, especially because, you know, that's going to make me look good. No, my place in life is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and my place in life is to live above what is considered normal. I want to be peculiar for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want long after I am gone and long after I am dead, that when people think about me, and I hope you think about this of you, and I'm not lifting me up, I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, I want my life to be a testimony to the grace and the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see his place in life. He wasn't doing the normal. He was living for the Lord. He was striving for excellence. And God decides to just stop in the middle of this genealogy and say, oh, let me tell you about a guy by the name of Jabez. Number one, we see his place in life. Number two, we see his problem in life. His problem in life. Now, what's the problem? Okay, the problem is that his name is the problem. Okay, now some might say, hey, okay, Pastor Turner, right there, I want to change my name. I don't like the name I have. No, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we want to emphasize, whether you or I, we like our name. But the Bible says that his name is Jabez. Here's what his name literally means. The son of my sorrow, pain, affliction, he will cause pain. Wow. What a name. Even in the Bible, it says here, the Bible says, because I bear him with sorrow. And so we see here the problem of life for Jabez. Many people would take a name like that and figure, okay, well, my name means sorrow. My mom bore me out of sorrow. My past is this. My past is that. I have this that's in my life. I have this problem that's in my life. And yet here we see a man by the name of Jabez, and we're going to develop this as it further goes along, that it doesn't matter whether your past is not all flowery and beautiful and wonderful and without difficulty. No, if we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, He takes our name. He takes our name, and our name, when we got before we got saved, we all had the same name. Our name was Condemned. Mr. Condemned. Miss Condemned. Mrs. Condemned. Condemned where? Condemned to go to hell forever. Our name, Sinner. That was our name. We all have the same name. Doomed. Condemned. We were dead in trespasses and sin. All of these names, those were my names. Those were your names before we met Jesus. Oh, and Jesus, He makes all the difference. God is able to take a life like mine, and God is able to take a life like yours, and God is able to take a life like Jabez, a name, son of my sorrow. He will cause pain, affliction, so forth and so on. And He's able to transform us. He's able to take our sin-sick body and apply the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's able to make us redeemed. He's able to make us a child of the King. He's able to take the problem that we look at. He's able to take the difficulty that we look at and bring something beautiful from it. Oh, today, you might be in the middle of a problem. You might be in the middle of something of great difficulty. Let God take the problem. Let God take the difficulty and use it for His glory. A little bit of a story. The life of William Rudolph is a wonderful illustration about this particular point. Wilma Rudolph, she was a successful Olympic athlete in the 1960s. She was born 16th of 18 children. Can you imagine that? Oh my. Number 16 of 18 in a poor black family in Middle Tennessee. She weighed a whopping 4 pounds and 1 ounce when she was born. That's not very big. At the age of 4, Wilma would contract polio and lose the use of her left leg. Doesn't sound very good, does it? This battle with polio left Wilma weakened, and she immediately developed pneumonia and scarlet fever. Boy, you talk about it getting worse and worse. She managed to survive all of these diseases and yet would spend the majority of her childhood as a cripple. Again, we might look at this and say, wow, what good can come out of this? What good can come out of my past? It was only through years of therapy, which her mother carried her to, that one day, and determination, that Wilma was able to regain the use of that left leg. She went on to play high school basketball, setting a single season record for most points. She scored 803 points in 25 games. In 1960, Wilma Rudolph represented the United States in the Olympics, which was held in Rome, Italy, winning gold medals in all three events in which she competed. Would you listen to this for just a moment? In both the 100-meter dash, yes, this lady that was born weighing 4 pounds, 1 ounce, yes, this lady with polio who lost the use of her left leg, yes, the 100-meter, she set a new Olympic record at that time for the 200, and in the 400-meter relay, she brought her team from behind to win gold. At the very least, we could say about Wilma Rudolph that she rose above her circumstances. Her life started off like it was going to fail. Her life started off without little hope. And by the way, and looking at our lives, that's exactly where we are without Christ. We have no hope without the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but with Christ, we have great victory. With Christ, we can be saved. The Bible tells us, we look at, number one, His place in life. His problem in life. One more under this. We see His performance, though, in life. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. What does it say about Jabez? It says that he was more honorable than his brethren. More honorable than his brethren. What does this mean? Here's what it means. He was worthy of more honor than the rest of his family. Now, Jabez is not remembered as a great leader or a great prophet or a great preacher. I don't think he was a warrior of any kind. But what is he remembered for? Well, he's remembered for something here in these verses. He's remembered for being a man of prayer. He's remembered of being a man of God in a godless day. He's remembered of not. We could remember him because he did not do that which was right in his own eyes. Instead, he followed the Lord's will for his life. He was determined to live for the Lord. And I tell you, today in 2020. We need a revival amongst God's people, that our sights are set on pleasing the Lord, not on man. That our sights are set on living for God, not for the flesh. That our sights are set on being someone who the Bible says was more honorable, that we would live lives of honor for the glory of God. Jabez, number one. Number two, Jabez, let's dig into this a little bit more. Jabez and his prayer. Jabez and his prayer. Number one, Jabez and his pedigree. Number two, Jabez and his prayer. What did he pray for? Let's look at it. The beginning of verse 10. Letter A, Jabez prayed for prosperity. There's nothing wrong with prosperity, friends. Nothing wrong with it. We're not preaching a prosperity gospel. We never have. We never will. That's not what we're talking about. Let's read what he said. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, here it is, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil." Jabez prayed for prosperity. He prayed for the Lord's fullest blessing. I don't have this in the outline, but maybe you just want to jot these down in your notes. All Jabez wanted was two things. Number one, Jabez prayed for God's best. Notice it. Let's look at it again. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." How many of us would say we need God's blessing? And if your hand's not up, then you must not understand the question. Excuse me. We need God's blessing. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." He wanted the fullness of God's blessing upon his life. He wanted God's provision. There's nothing wrong with God, with wanting God to bless us. I'm not talking about wealth. I'm not even talking about possessions. I'm talking about having God's best for my life. Look, if God's best for my life is what I have right now, praise God. That should bring contentment. But if God has something better for me, and I am in the way of that, then I want to pray, "God, get me out of the way so that you can bring whatever your best is to my life." This is what I sense in Jabez here. "God, I want your best for my life. Whatever is best, whatever your will is for my life." Will God's will be best? Of course God's will be blessed. We are talking about obtaining God's best for our life. Let's not be satisfied with what we think is best, but let's seek what God has for us. Jabez wanted God's best. Let's refuse to be comfortable in the way that we're living and say, "God, shake me up. God, get my attention." Maybe God's been getting your attention in recent days. Good. God's been getting my attention in recent days in a more tangible way. Good. That's not a bad thing. "Oh, God, bless me. God, I want your best for my life." Meaning, I want to live in your will. He was seeking God's best. He was also, number two, underneath this prosperity, he was asking for God's blessing, and I think we've covered that. God's blessing. Jabez prayed for prosperity. Number two, though, Jabez prayed for power. Prayed for power. Notice that thine hand might be with me. You know, when I think of God's hand, I think of a few things. One, protection. Aren't you glad to be in the hand of God? Oh, man, I tell you what. God protects us. John 10, we're in the hand of God. We're in the hand of Christ. Christ is in the hand of God, which means we're in the hand of God, folks. And no man can what? pluck us out of the Father's hand. I don't know if you've been, I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know what you've learned out there, and I'm saying this lovingly. You cannot lose the salvation that God's grace gave to you. It is impossible. You cannot be plucked from the hand of God. So when I think about the hand of God, let's keep going here. When I think about the hand of God, I think about His protection. Another thing, when I think about the hand of God, this isn't in the notes, but I think about His provision. His provision. Everything that we have belongs to God. Amen? Everything, 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 everything. Oh, no, 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 Pastor, in the government, they gave me the money for the COVID. No, 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 that's from God. Don't look at it like that. That's not from the Canadian government. That's not from your employer. That's not from your pension. That's not from this or from that. No, it's from God. God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We're supposed to be stewards of that. But the other thing I think of when I think about the hand of God is what we're talking about here. I think of God's power. Power. The mighty power of God. Jabez prayed for power. Jabez said to the Lord, that thy hand might be with me. He came to the Lord for his power. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I lost my eyes there. My eyes weren't looking properly there. Sorry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The power. We need this power today. We need this power to do the work of the Lord. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 10. The Bible says, for His letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but His bodily presence is weak and His speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, then we are absent, such we will be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Notice the Bible says they are weighty and powerful for His letters, the Word of God. We need the power of God in our life. The power of God is available to you. The power of God is available to me. The Bible speaks of it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I'm not going to read that verse today, but it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But then I want to read Ephesians 5:18 quickly. Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're talking about the power of God. Jabez said, God, I need your power. Jabez said that your hand would be with me. He prayed for the blessing of God, excuse me, the prosperity of God, the power of God. But then let's look at number three. Jabez prayed for God's protection. God's protection. Would you go with me to Proverbs 13? Proverbs 13 and verse number 5. Proverbs 13 and 5. We have an enemy, folks. We have an enemy. Notice here it says, Proverbs 13 and verse number 5. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome. Notice, and cometh to what? Oh, we need God's protection, because the devil is looking to bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we go back to our text, Jabez said in verse number 10, that thou wouldest keep me from what? Evil. Oh, dear Christian, we need God's protection today from the enemy. Well, this not being able to have church in the way that we want to is not an excuse, because why? We have the Bible. It's not an excuse. Now, I'll tell you this, though. It's definitely something that the devil is going to use, though. The devil is already using. Okay? Here's why. Because too many Christians were dependent upon the pastor and the youth pastor and the Sunday school teacher, and that's it. And that's the only place that they found most of their spiritual sustenance was on Sunday. And then if for some chance they were one of the ones that were able to come on Wednesday. And yes, maybe a little bit of Bible reading, and that's about it. And you know what? Look at what happens. The God has allowed this, yes, to help us to recognize we must have God's protection. This is what keeps me from evil. This is what helps me to defeat Satan. This is what helps you to withstand temptation. This is what helps us to say no to the enemy. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the Word of God. Oh, my friends, please, please, I implore you. And you think about it, probably every Sunday that you came to Anchor Baptist Church, you heard, and I'm not saying that I'm the best pastor, I'm just saying this, probably every Sunday you heard at least one time, more than likely, are you reading your Bible? Or we need to read the Bible? Or it's important to read the Bible? Or have a daily walk with God? Oh, isn't it revealing right now? Oh, it's got to be revealing right now to those who have had a weak time in the Word. And all of us have been there before. I've been there before. You've been there before. Oh, but by the grace of God, we need to pray. We need to be praying with humility like Jabez. God, right now, God, keep me from evil. God, I need your protection. We ought to hate everything that brings dishonor to the name of the Lord. David said it best in Psalm 101 in verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. By the way, we got a lot of time right now to set things before our eyes, don't we? A lot of time. You put things in front of your eyes that are pure and just. Put things in front of your eyes that are right and clean. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are pure and honest and just and all of the descriptive words, let's not put things in front of our eyes that are wicked. And oh, that's so easy to just sit down and watch something. We got to be very careful what we allow to take into our eye gate. Maybe it's on the internet, it's on the television, whatever it may be. We need to be seeking God like Jabez. God, protect me. God, protect me. This would be a good prayer for God's children to be in the habit of praying. Psalm 101:3, I hate the work of them that turn aside. They shall not cleave to me. God, I want God's blessing. You know what? God's not going to bless us if we're walking contrary to His will. We got requests we need granted. We're following a formula here. I hope you're following it. Jabez and his pedigree, number one. Jabez and his prayer. And then lastly, Jabez and his provision. Jabez and his provision. Let's go back to our text. Into verse 10. By the way, look what Jabez says that evil would do to him. Let's go back and read this. Let's not miss this. We'll get to number 3. It's a shorter point anyway, okay? Plus, you're just sitting right now at home. It's okay. You'll be all right. Look at the end of verse 10. Not quite to the end. It says, Thou wouldest keep me from evil. Why? That it may not grieve. Now, you would think it would say that it may not grieve thee. Like it would grieve God. That's not what God had the Holy Spirit tell the author here to write. He said, God, keep me from evil that it may not grieve me. Oh, my. You've heard it said. Anchor Baptist Church, I've said it numerous times. The most miserable person in all the world is not a lost man. The most miserable person in all the world is someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ who is living in sin. And here's proof in point. Sin grieves our spirit. Yes, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Yes, it quenches the Holy Spirit. But here Jabez emphasizes, I don't want to be a part of sin. I need you to help me to say no to sin, because when I'm living in sin, it grieves me. And oh, there's no, if we're living that way, our testimony for the Lord is greatly impacted as we live a life in sin and walk in sin. Our testimony is done. So I just wanted to add that to the last point. But then the last point, number 2. But then number 3, we see Jabez and his provision. Notice, and God granted him that which he requested. Request granted. God heard the prayer of Jabez and answered him by giving him all the things which he prayed for. God answered Daniel by giving him what he asked for. God allowed Esther's prayer to be granted by the king. God allowed the psalmist's prayer. Everything had been given that had been requested. He would not withhold what he requested. Nehemiah, what do you want? Nehemiah, you look sad. What's going on? What do you need, Nehemiah? I prayed to the God of heaven. And the king gave me everything I needed. Request granted. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James 4. God honors prayer that honors Him. God honors prayer that honors Him. I think it's apparent. It's obvious to me. I would say it's obvious to each of you as well that we need to do a lot more communication with our holy God. We need to be a lot more in tune with what God has. We need to say, God, I want Your will. I desire Your will. Look at James chapter number 4, verse number 2. The Bible says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye have not, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not. Now here's the opposite. The request is denied. You say, that's where I feel like I'm at, okay? Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Ye may consume it upon your lust. In other words, your motive for asking is not for God's glory or God's will. Your motive for asking is for your own personal benefit. Now, by the way, God, again, He daily loadeth us with benefits. Hey, God takes care of us. God has a roof over our head. He has food in our tummy. He has clothes on our back. He takes care of us. He gives us everything that we need. But here the Bible is saying, you're not getting what you want because you're asking according to your will. God honors those prayers that honor Him. We serve a God today, amen, that hears and answers prayer. Call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah 64 and verse number 25. Isaiah 64, 25. And that's not the right reference. Oh, boy, I haven't done that in a while. Anyway, I don't have a whole crowd here to help me find the right reference. And so we're just going to keep moving on. God answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. Therefore, today, we can have absolute confidence knowing that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Jabez was provided what he asked for. Let's go to John 14 as we bring the message to a close. John 14. John 14. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to My Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. As we consider Jabez's life, I want you today, as we message, we go into the invitation, would you examine your life? Would you examine your communication with God? Would you examine your things that you're putting before your eyes? Are you satisfied with your walk with God today? Are you satisfied with your attitude? Are you satisfied with the amount of time you're spending in the Word of God on a daily basis? Are you satisfied with your prayer life? Are you satisfied with your involvement in the local church? And I know right now it's difficult for the involvement of fully functioning ministry, but we can be fully functioning even without being together. Are you satisfied with your prayer time, your Bible time? Are you satisfied with your spiritual growth? You know what? I got saved 36 years ago. That's a long time ago. And I'm thankful for that. You know what? The worst thing I can do is be satisfied. Pastoring now for 19 years almost, in full-time ministry for 24 years or whatever it is since Bible college. The worst thing that could happen to me is to be satisfied with where I'm at. You know what Jabez said? I didn't really mention it, but Jabez said, I'd like to have my coast enlarged. I hope that we as God's people, in the midst of the days in which we're living right now, we don't get comfortable by just going to www.anchoredinjesus.com, looking at a service, closing our Bibles, and that's the only time we open them. Going to facebook.com and watch. Hey, again, I'm thankful for all these tools. I'm thankful, and I hope God is using. I hope you're able to use it to invite. And I know many of you are. But let's not get satisfied. Let's ask for God to give us a renewed hunger for what He has for us. Let's, as Jabez said, let's take a look at this and let's dissect this. We need the blessing of God. We need an enlarged vision. We need the power and the provision of God. We need His protection because the enemy is coming. And by the way, the enemy is on full speed ahead right now, trying to have a place in your life and a place in my life and a place in your family. No, we've got to have the prayer, the vision of Jabez, that yes, our past, it's sorrowful in some ways in all of our past, but yet God can make us a new creature. God can create in us a clean spirit, and God can renew the vision that we have for Him that we once had. Even in these days, we can be fully functioning and living for God. And I trust that today, God has spoke to your heart that there's some requests that you need to bring to God. You need to come to God today on the behalf of your lost family member, and you need to pray that God would save their soul. Keep praying that God would save their soul. Maybe there's a financial need that you have. Hey, you can ask for God's blessing. Don't be afraid to ask God to provide your financial needs. You should be, and I should be praying for our daily bread. Amen? God is our provider. I love to read in the Bible, request granted. You think God is only going to grant the requests of the Bible characters? Way, Jose. God's going to take care of you. God is taking care of you. God is taking care of me. God is taking care of Anchor Baptist Church. God is waiting for you, and God is waiting for me to come to Him with our requests. Won't you come to Him today? You know the greatest request that God is waiting to hear from you about and me about is this: Lord, save me. Maybe you've already went to Him and He's already granted that request. Possibly, though, there's someone listening to me right now. You're not from Vancouver. Maybe you're from another part of Canada, maybe in the States. Maybe you're across the globe somewhere and somebody in your family is at Anchor Baptist, or they live in this area. Or maybe you do live in this area and one of your family members attends Anchor Baptist Church and they've encouraged you to watch the service today. Or maybe you just somehow, a friend of yours is a part of Anchor Baptist Church. Or you're on this because somebody on Facebook shared it on their feed and you found it. Or if somebody texted you and invited you to be a part of the meeting. Do you know what? God is waiting for you. God is longing for you right now to make a request. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Request granted. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, request made, shall be saved. Request granted. Do you know if you died tonight, you would be in heaven? If not, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the only access that we have to eternal life. And He's waiting. He's got nail-scarred hands. He's got a sword-pierced side. His furrow, His brow was pierced by those thorns and the blood came trickling down. And He did it all for you and all for me. And He gives us the ability to ask for eternal life. And it will be given to us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Just ask by faith. Acts 16:31, the jailer Peter, Paul and Silas said, Peter said, Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Request made, request granted. If you're listening to this broadcast right now and you die and go to hell, you'll have no one to blame. Absolutely no one to blame. But your own pride. Because you're hearing right now, not from a man, but you're hearing from the Lord, saying, if you would come to me by faith, I will in no wise cast you out. It means you come and make the request.